We're going to be moving into the study of pneumatology. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Start out with a brief introduction and then we'll open in a word of prayer. With a growing emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit and the spreading influence, and I mean this with humility because those within the charismatic church are not our enemies, all right? They are brothers and sisters in Christ, many, many of them, who have placed their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. But there are some doctrinal discrepancies that we really can't avoid or apologize for. So the spreading influence of some charismatic movement, there is an urgent need for us, I have Lord's people written here, but for us to understand what the Bible teaches about this wonderful person. And I want you to catch that. I called him a person, not an it, not some neuter gender that we find within the Greek. He is a person, and we'll talk about that in a little bit in the future. So tonight we're going to set the stage to whom the Holy Spirit is, as Scripture teaches, and what he is not. From that, we will move into more specific areas such as Spirit baptism, His filling, His ministry today in our lives, His indwelling, spiritual gifts, miracles, healings, tongues, faith, prophecy, and so on until we are all in absolute disagreement and we'll all leave, all right? No, that's not the purpose. But we will move into those specific areas tonight, later, I'm sorry. But tonight we're going to look at a general understanding. This looks like my hammer. I've been missing a hammer. And we'll set that right here. All right. But we'll be looking at who he is tonight. This study will be from what Scripture tells us, not what we want the Holy Spirit to say or be in our lives or through our experiences. It's important to remember that Scripture ought to interpret our experiences, not our experiences interpret Scripture, because the authority is found in the written word, not in your life. Amen? Everyone awake on that? If you have an experience that is contrary to Scripture, Scripture wins. Scripture wins. So this study will be from what Scripture says, understanding that of the Holy Spirit and His ministry in man's life. And once again, we must understand that it is a progressive study, like we talked about this morning, remembering that God gave His Word to us piece by piece, layer by layer of truth, and it should be studied in its entirety in order to avoid applicational error in the area of pneumatology in our lives. So grabbing one verse while turning a blind eye to the progression of truth that the Bible offers is not only a willingly ignorant way to approach Scripture, but it is really self-serving and offers very little power to the believer's life. And not only does it provide little power, but it will introduce confusion and false, and if you allow this grammar, false pneumatology, false study of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, I don't say that. I was teasing with Ed as I walked in here that I said, I now understand everything about the Holy Spirit and I know exactly what He can and cannot do. That is not the purpose. Please let me say this very clearly. God can do whatever He pleases to do, for He is God. Are we in agreement with that? He is God. But we do know that He will not act contrary to His revelation. Contrary to His revelation, because He cannot act contrary to His character. So, with that being said, let's open with a brief word of prayer, and then we will wade into the murky waters that is the study in pneumatology. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we study Your Spirit, we need Your Spirit to reveal Himself to us through Your spoken, complete, exhaustive Word. Lord, may we submit ourselves to His teaching and what You have revealed. Lord, I ask that in areas that I mess up, that I would quickly correct myself and line myself up with what Your Word says. I say that in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen. The most important person on the planet today is the Holy Spirit. The person, the personhood of the Holy Spirit. I want you to write that down. If you forget anything else tonight, He is the single most important person on the earth. The Holy Spirit is more important than the United Nations. He is more important than the G7, because we just got rid of Russia, the G7 power leaders. He is more knowledgeable than any person, any library, or collection of professors put together. He is the single most important person on the planet, bar none. Why? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the one that God the Father and God the Son, remember Jesus Christ said, it is good that I go because I am going to send what? Another comforter. Another one. It is the one that was sent to complete their work and purpose of God on earth and to finish the work of God wanted down here on earth during this time. So the most important job on earth is not your job. It is not my job. It is not found in the collection of leaders within Washington, D.C. or the United Nations. The most important work is the work of the Holy Spirit because He was sent to accomplish God's plan on this earth. So it is only reasonable that we would study to know as much as we possibly can in how He conducts Himself. Now, I want you to notice that I said He was a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a mist. He is not a vapor. He contains a personhood. And while it is true that very often within the Greek language you will find a neuter, gender within Scriptures, there are a couple times within Scriptures, John 15 and 16, where they use a masculine pronoun to describe Him. But we'll go more than just saying that and going into the personhood. We will actually look at the Holy Spirit's personhood and the evidence within Scripture right here. And the first thing is this. He possesses certain features, including of a personhood, including self-awareness, where He says the words me or I when referring to the Holy Spirit. He has self-determination, moral awareness, emotion, intelligence, and the list could go on and on. Character traits that are mostly only found, let's set this up here, in a person. The Holy Spirit does the work that only a person can do, and that He teaches, He reproves, He convicts, He calls, and He bears witness on your behalf. So why do I bring up this issue of the personhood? Because, and this is important, He is an equal part of the Godhead. He is God. God, the Holy Spirit, is equal to God the Son and God the Father. He is an equal part of the Trinity. And with that comes ramifications. His image, His personhood, is stamped on our lives as much as God the Father and God the Son. His personhood is equally stamped on our lives. And while His role within the ontological subordination of the Trinity, if you remember back, and I hope you're keeping your notes, that talks about the roles within the Trinity. While equal, they have subordinary roles with one another. And while His role is that of being the third one in the Trinity, He is in no way less God than the Father is and the Son is. And His personhood and image is stamped on us in every way. And we carry the same attributes of the Holy Spirit as the Son and the Father in our lives, such as self-awareness, self-determined, moral awareness, emotion, intelligence, and so on. In fact, we find the evidence of this found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when God said, "Let us make man in whose image? Our image. Not my image, not your image," meaning the Son, "but our image," which is an inclusive pronoun of the Trinity of God, which would have included the Holy Spirit. All this to say is that the Holy Spirit is God. He is not a second-level minister sent from God. He is called God in the Scriptures. He has the same attributes of God and equal measure, and He does the work of God. So that's why we bring that up, because it's important to understand that He's just not a second-level tier minister of the Trinity. Now, I want to get an overview of the work of the Holy Spirit before we land on some specific details. It is extremely important to understand that the work of the Holy Spirit changes through Scripture. You must hear that. You must grab that. What the Holy Spirit did in eternity past, or at creation, or during the life of Jesus Christ, or in the Old Testament, is not the exact same ministry that He has today. He worked differently in eternity past. He worked differently in the Old Testament. He worked differently when Christ was on earth. He worked differently when he empowered the apostles to do great and mighty acts in their ministry. And his ministry has progressed, and he now works differently today. Now, I cannot and will not put the Holy Spirit in the box. I am not the authority of the Holy Spirit. But the evidence found within a fair and accurate study of God's progressive work with the Holy Spirit indicates that his ministry changes through dispensations. Now, I use the word dispensations generally, meaning house rule, specifically when it relates to God's responsibility with us or his actions with us. There are different house rules or acts of the Holy Spirit in different times. And this is why a study is so important. We must understand the progressive revelation of God in order to understand how God works in our lives today to the best of our ability. Again, we'll not put him in a box. And if something happens that is outside of my box that is consistent with Scripture, Scripture wins, Holy Spirit is right, Boomsum is wrong. Is there a witness? All right. Everyone agrees when I'm wrong. Ed, settle down. Now, here's an example. The Holy Spirit's work in the Old Testament is different, at least evidenced within the Word of God, is different today. Let's go through some things here. He was active in creation. We find that in Genesis. He was active in forming the Old Testament. He was active in helping man. He filled certain people for special works and powers and abilities. I think of Samson. I think of Saul. I think of David. He filled certain people for special work. He would temporarily indwell people. That's something that's a heavy hitter. He would temporarily indwell people. And he would leave people. He would leave them, i.e. Saul. David feared that the Holy Spirit would leave him after he sinned with Bathsheba. Now, this is huge to our understanding of the study of pneumatology or the Holy Spirit. If we take the sum of his work in the Old Testament, grab this, don't fade away, because here's where we start to have the rubber hit the road as far as our understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit within the church today. If we take the sum of his work in the Old Testament that we see right here, and we apply it to us today in this New Testament era, the fulfillment that is found in Jesus Christ, if we try to apply this today, it will not only be heretical, but it would be devastating to our faith and consequences to our walk with Christ. If I were to summarize it, it would sound like this. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would often help his people in order to promote God's work by temporarily filling and indwelling individuals to do special and miraculous works, and upon completion of that work of God's plan, he would leave them. We see that with Saul. We see that with Samson. Now, that means we might not, having an understanding of how the Holy Spirit, at least a general understanding of how he worked in the Old Testament, it would be important to us to not pray that the Holy Spirit would continue his ministry in our work today, where we say, Lord, fill me and give me the power of Samson like you did in the days of old. Fill me like you did in the Old Testament, because you may not want that. Because there's one thing we must understand, that not only did he fill, not only did he indwell people from time to time in the Old Testament, but he also did what, class? He left them. Look at the muscle go away. I don't want that kind of indwelling. I want a Holy Spirit that never leaves me, never forsakes me, that he is a deposit and a guarantee to come. We see this in some Old Testament scriptures. First one is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, 13 through 14, as we get a general understanding of the dispensations of the work of the Holy Spirit in man's lives. It says this, "So Samuel took a horn of oil, anointed him," David, "in the presence of his brothers, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Now, I want you to pretend you're Saul, okay? Samuel then went to Ramah. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and what took his place? An evil spirit tormented Saul. once filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit left Saul and was being tormented by an evil spirit. That's a very different work of the Holy Spirit than what we have today. When David sinned against Bathsheba, he was fearful that the Lord would take his Holy Spirit away from him. In Psalms 51, verse 11, it says this, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Does God do this today? Does God take his Holy Spirit away from an authentic child of God, not to indwell him anymore? Class, what is the answer? No, he doesn't. So we want to make sure we understand the distinction of the work of the Holy Spirit within the Old Testament before we sit there and try and apply it into this New Testament dispensation of grace. He will never leave. He'll never forsake. He is our, Scripture tells us, our deposit, our guarantee, never to leave, sealed until the day of what, class? The day of what? Redemption. The Holy Spirit does not abandon us. In fact, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, if we want to look at a contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the work of the Holy Spirit, it says this, "In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." Tell me, when will you acquire possession of your inheritance? When? Talk to me, theologians. In heaven. Until then, he is your deposit. He is your guarantee. He will not leave an authentic child of God to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 4:30 says this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." How many here today are thankful that the Holy Spirit works differently today than he did in the Old Testament? Amen? I'm thankful for that. I don't want to be Saul, indwelled and filled with the third person of the ontological subordination of the Holy Spirit within my life in the next moment, being tormented by an evil spirit. Praise God for the New Testament fulfillment that is in Jesus Christ. He will never leave us. He is our deposit, our guarantee, our teacher, our guide, and we are his temple. His temple. The Holy Spirit will not leave his temple. He abides with us. Here's a small, interesting, I think, fun example from time to time that I get to analyze. There is a song we like to sing within our circles from Psalm 51, 10 through 11. And it looks like this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit from me." I'm going to sing it for you. No, I will not. All right? And then it says, "And cast me not away from your presence, O Lord." Stop! Stop! Does God do this today? Does God cast us away from his presence? See, this is where we get a New Testament understanding of the Holy Spirit versus an Old Testament understanding. David wrote this song from an Old Testament perspective, from the context of repenting from the sin of adultery from Bathsheba. We might want to know that and apply that. And then the song we sing goes a little bit further. "And take not the Holy Spirit from me." What? Are we singing this? Now, does God take his Holy Spirit from us? The answer is no. We know this clearly evidenced from the New Testament. Why would we sing a song that is not biblically accurate for believers today? Now, I'm not saying you can't sing the song. You know, the spirit of the song is very good. "Lord, renew my spirit. I want to be right with you. I don't want to have anything between me and my relationship with you." You know, I'm not trying to, you know, micromanage every word that we say, but I use this to rise this up as an example that the Spirit does not reflect accurate New Testament doctrine about the Holy Spirit. For God does not abandon his people through taking his Holy Spirit. Do we agree? So we kind of want to make sure that we're singing things accurately. Again, I'm not saying you're a bad Christian if you sing this. I just forbid my family to. All right? I'm joking. But be thinking about what we believe. This is David from an Old Testament perspective. Don't go away. You know what we sing? Grace greater than all our sin. Grace that sets me free, that He will never leave me. How the Holy Spirit works and functions in the Old Testament is different to how He works in the days of Christ, how He worked with the apostles, and how He works with us today. And any genuine student of the Word of God, and I say this with humility, that dedicates themselves to study, will see this very clearly, the distinctions of His ministry based on the purpose and plan of God for that time. But people will often decide what they want to believe before they begin their study. This is not only a sloppy approach to Scripture, I would say it is a disrespectful approach to Scripture. You ever have someone come to you with a conversation where they've already made up their mind? Why have the conversation? You know what? Don't have your mind made up. Let God reveal who He is through His Scriptures. God reveals Himself to us. Who are we to tell God what He is to be to us? He reveals Himself. The work of the Holy Spirit is to do the work of God the Father and God the Son for a specific time. Since God's revelation is progressive in that it builds upon itself from Genesis to Revelation, the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit changes or shifts with the purpose of God during that time. His work was different in eternity past. His work was unique during the Old Testament times. We just went through that. His work was different during the conception of Jesus Christ. We won't go into that because I don't know. The work was unique for Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. That was a unique relationship and a unique ministry that you and I will never have the way God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were together. His work was unique during the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His work was unique to the apostles as they established the church. And by the way, the only way to be an apostle is to be an eyewitness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tons of evidence for that. Luke 24, 46 through 48. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. You are witnesses. I got something to say here. God gave great power and ability and signs to even to the point of raising the dead to those who physically witnessed the earthly presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is what an apostle is, an eyewitness. Here's a question, class. How many of you are apostles today? Talk to me. None. We are now followers of Jesus Christ. We are disciples of Jesus Christ who have learned from those who came before us. And you need to hear this, class, my friends. The Holy Spirit's work is unique and different today than it has been in all of the previous times listed above. His work is unique to the building of the church today. This does not limit nor demote the power of God and the Holy Spirit, but helps us understand who He is, what His function is in that ontological subordination within the Trinity, and how maybe He works today in our lives. It's understanding. Now, why is it important to understand these distinctions and these roles as we have a general approach to the Holy Spirit? And it is this. By doing so, we clarify and glorify God by understanding Him as He has progressively revealed Himself to us. I have heard some say, and I'll just say it without apology, and I mean it with humility. I have heard some say, people say some absolutely absurd things spoken about the work of the Holy Spirit today that has absolutely no connection with Scripture. And that's why I can call it absurd. It has absolutely no connection with Scripture and shows any evidence of real study and approach to the Word of God. God in eternity past, in the past, spoke and revealed Himself to us, and we must dedicate ourselves to study so that we might know Him as He has revealed Himself, not in a way that makes us feel ewy, gooey, and good. So the purpose of the time together this evening is simply this, and you're going to get out early, and that's my summer vacation present to you. The purpose of our time this evening is this. The Holy Spirit is a person, equally God, who does the work of God the Father and God the Son as they direct. God has clearly revealed the work and the person of the Holy Spirit, and we must dedicate ourselves to studying it. For in doing so, here's where the application and practical, where the tire hits the road. Why? This is why. For by doing so, we avoid error to the best of our ability. Isn't that our responsibility? How many here know we're still going to err? We're still going to mess up. I'm still going to say things that are going to make your eyebrows go up, which I'm sure never happens, all right? Let's move forward, all right? To avoid error, and here it is, cooperate. Can you imagine that? A church that has the very best understanding possible of how the Holy Spirit works can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had someone that you were constantly working against and how difficult that makes things? How often do we individually and corporately literally work against the efforts and will of our God because we don't know and cooperate with Him? Diligent, accurate study promotes cooperation and productivity with God, which, by the way, unleashes untold power in our lives. We're going to close with this. I had Mike bring up my hammer that the church stole from me. Joking. You ever use something the wrong way? Have you ever grabbed a tool because it's all you had and you didn't have the right tool? But sometimes we'll grab the right tool and use it the wrong way. Imagine if you were going to hit a nail with this hammer. All right? And this hammer will represent the Holy Spirit in our illustration here. You ever try to hit a nail with the wrong side of the hammer? All right? Where we say, I don't need the instructions. Although, if you don't know how a hammer works, we got bigger problems, all right? This takes forever. But if we hold it the wrong way, I found that funny, folks, all right? And we try to drive a nail in with using this and not cooperating with the hammer, what's going to happen? Talk to me. You know the answer, but just for conversation's sake, what's going to happen? You're going to fail. You're going to miss the nail, but you're going to do more than that. You're not only going to not hit that nail into that nice, fine, finished wood. What are you going to do to the wood? You're going to destroy it. Look what I made for you, honey. Isn't it beautiful? No. I'd rather you not bring it into the house. It makes things difficult, and it can be destructive. But use something the right way. The way it was intended to be used. To understand its function and its role, not only are we not destructive anymore, but we're productive with working with it. And it's less difficult. This is what the church should look like in its cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And that is to use it the right way, to understand it, to cooperate with it. But unfortunately, this is oftentimes what the church looks like in its relationship and cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And we wonder why there's fractions within the church. How many feel like I'm about to attack them? All right. Why are there fractions? Why is there disunity? Why is there chaos? Why is there confusion? Because we are not cooperating with the Holy Spirit in the way He was intended, because we have forsaken the study to understand Him. It makes things difficult, unproductive, and an error. But if, and for the sake of our illustration, if this hammer is the Holy Spirit, this is what genuine study does. This is what genuine study does. And it helps us cooperate and work with maximizing His power and effectiveness in our lives and in our church. Conversely, a lack of study does this. How important. No wonder Scripture says, study, 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 seek, seek, seek. Renew, renew, renew. Know me better. Because when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, great things happen. Church, our study will determine how effective we cooperate with God, the God of the universe. Let us, and we're closing with this, let us assume our role within the ontological subordination of the Trinity, because guess what? We have been invited in to partake in this union. When the Holy Spirit indwells us as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we enter into this relationship with the Trinity that makes you think, who is man that God is even mindful of us? And not only is He mindful of, but He has taken us into this triune relationship. Let us assume our role like the Son has and the Holy Spirit has, and now we should. For we are indwelled, and our role is to obey and to study and to show ourselves approved. That's why it's so important to study and know the Word of God. Next time we are together, we will begin to move into the work of the Holy Spirit today, in the church age, in this dispensation of grace. What does Scripture reveal that the Holy Spirit does? How He functions? What is available today? What is no longer available today? To the best of our ability through Scripture, while not putting God in a box. For God can do what He pleases and is consistent to His revealed Word. Remember, God's Word is a progressive revelation, and we must study it to show ourselves approved. Gracious Heavenly Father, we and I desperately need Your help as we study this. May I be fair to the text, not my denomination. And if my denomination is in disagreement with Your Word, may we agree with Your Word. For we believe, Lord, in biblical authority. May we submit ourselves to You. And I pray this, and may we cooperate with You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.